From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 14th, 2025. Maine's largest network of reproductive health care clinics asked a federal judge in Portland today to issue an injunction to immediately restore federal Medicaid funding. Maine Family Planning operates 18 clinics across the state. As Patty White reports, it's suing the Trump administration over a provision in the recently passed federal budget that defunds health care providers that also offer abortion services.
Maine Family Planning is facing a $1.9 million loss, roughly a quarter of its annual funding. Spokesperson Olivia Pennington says unless federal Medicaid funding is restored, the organization will be forced to end primary care services for all patients.
We provide primary care in rural areas of the state that are federally designated medically underserved areas. Without intervention from the courts, we're talking about thousands of patients who may be left with nowhere else to turn to access life-saving health care.
Nearly half of the patients who seek non-abortion care at Maine Family Planning are covered by Medicaid, known locally as MaineCare. Department of Justice attorney Emily Hall declined to comment, but during the hearing, she said that the block on federal funding is only for 1 year and the court should uphold the actions of democratically elected leaders. Planned Parenthood filed a separate lawsuit over the policy and won a temporary injunction from a federal judge in Boston in late July. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Drought conditions have rapidly accelerated in Maine over the last couple weeks, according to new data from the U.S. Geological Survey. Scientists say hot weather combined with a lack of rain has created what's known as a flash drought. Last week, the U.S. Drought Monitor classified 35% of the state as abnormally dry. Now, more than 75% of the state is experiencing drought conditions. Canadian border crossings into Maine continued to drop last month. New data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows roughly 277,000 people entered Maine in July, down 28% compared to last year. Typically, July and August are the busiest months for Canadians crossing the border into Maine, according to CBP data. Maine has seen about a 25% decrease in Canadian visitors since January, even as Governor Janet Mills has tried to bolster Maine's relationship with Canada amid an escalating trade war initiated by President Trump. Dry conditions are fueling very high fire danger in central and coastal Maine. As Molly Yanking reports, dozens of fires have been reported in the last 2 weeks alone.
Since the 1st of August, 124 fires have burned more than 70 acres across the state. Several are still active, including a 30-acre fire that had been contained in Baileyville near the Canadian border. New burn permits have been temporarily suspended statewide. Campfires should not be left unattended, and they should be fully extinguished until cold to the touch. The Maine Forest Service is urging residents and visitors to use caution. The top causes of wildfires so far this month have been campfires getting out of control, debris burning, and electrical malfunctions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
The Maine Department of Health and Human Services is urging federal food assistance recipients in Maine to change the pins on their EBT cards and check for fraudulent activity. Maine is one of several states that has been hit by a large-scale theft ring targeting the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP or food stamps. Approximately 300 Maine households have lost $76,000 in SNAP benefits this week, and DHHS officials say that number may increase as the scale of the theft comes into focus. In addition to changing pins on EBT cards, the department recommends blocking out-of-state transactions and activating the lock and unlock feature on the card. These changes can be made online or through an app tied to the cards. And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular look at government and politics. I'm here with Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler and State House Correspondent Kevin Miller. And today we're going to talk about how one Republican candidate for governor, Bobby Charles, is trying to break through a crowded field of candidates. He's doing it by questioning the national allegiances of one of the Maine legislature's three Somali-born lawmakers. Steve, tell us a little bit about Charles and how he has made this a focus of his campaign.
Yeah, Charles is a native of Wayne with an extensive background serving under President Ronald Reagan and both Bush presidents. He was an assistant secretary of state under George W. Bush, serving under then-Secretary Colin Powell. So he comes to this race with extensive background in politics and public service, But that's not why he's been in the news over the past couple of weeks. Instead, Charles has drawn condemnation from Democratic legislative leaders and many of the gubernatorial candidates for targeting State Representative Deka DeLock, questioning her loyalty to the U.S., and really just trying to make her an avatar for the Democrats who currently hold power in Augusta, who he says are corrupt.
Right. You and Kevin get into this in detail in the Pulse newsletter. It looks like Charles is piggybacking off some allegations made against DeLock in right-wing media.
Exactly. There's been a lot of posts from a conservative website called The Main Wire that focuses on some statements DeLock has made about her native country, Somalia, and her visits there and so forth. And they essentially call her loyalty to the U.S. into question. Those posts on their news and social media feeds have been going on since at least March, but it wasn't until a prominent right-wing account on the site formerly known as Twitter posted an old interview with DeLock to its 3.5 million followers in late July that Charles really started leaning into the same allegations. He's since called her Somalia first instead of America first, and he's called on her to resign or debate him.
And this stems from an interview that DeLock gave to Good Morning America nearly 3 years ago, right? Kevin, tell us about what she said and how that became fodder for this notorious X account called End Wokeness. For context, this is the same account that last year helped spread unfounded claims that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio were eating pets. And that claim got repeated by President Trump last year during a presidential debate.
Yeah, right, Ari. So we actually have a clip of that interview from Good Morning America.
Your mama's back home still, right? You still have family back home. What did they say?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. people are really bright. They have so much pride and so much, they are grateful. They are happy. And they are asking, what can we do back home in Somalia? How we can change policies? How can the politics in Somalia can be, you know, resonate what we have here in the United States, the democracy that we have? How can you help us, be a better country and build back what we used to have back in long time ago? So hopefully we will be able to help our country, our former country, Somalia, and show what we can do here can be also built into other countries that we left long time ago.
So just to put that clip in context, now Representative DeLock got quite a bit of a national attention back in 2022 when she was the first Somali-born American to be elected mayor of a city in the United States. She was elected the mayor of South Portland. And as you just heard in that clip, Representative DeLock was responding to a question about the reaction to her election back in Somalia. She was talking about her mother, right? But what End Wokeness did is they seized on four words from Representative DeLock, which is when she said, quote, our country of Somalia. And when you hear those words out of context, they can really be interpreted in a very different way. And those are the words that End Wokeness and then The Main Wire and most recently Bobby Charles have really been focusing on as they portray her as having, quote, Somalia first agenda or prioritizing Somalia over the U.S., as Steve mentioned.
Yeah, Ari, and the other piece here is that this post by End Wokeness was amplified further by the official account for the Department of Homeland Security. That's the same agency overseeing the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign. And those posts have essentially served as a blessing for Charles to go down this path. I mean, he recently suggested in a Portland Press Herald column that he is right to question DeLock's loyalties because DHS had expressed these concerns in those tweets, although I'm not sure I'd describe those tweets as concern necessarily, maybe more of a warning.
And Kevin, what's striking about all this is obviously how aggressively Charles has pursued this and really made it a central feature of his campaign.
Yeah, it is striking. So here we have a candidate for governor, not for the South Portland seat in the main house that Representative DeLock currently holds. And he's really been hammering this for several weeks now. Since August 1st, he's had roughly 20 posts on his Facebook feed that were either about DeLock, that pictured her, usually alongside Governor Janet Mills, or that were responding to Democratic criticism of his comments about her. And same goes for his feed on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. He's gathered petition signatures calling on her to either apologize or resign, and then he filmed himself dropping these off at an empty Democratic office in the State House. And then The Main Wire has kind of amplified this issue. They've really been picking up on Bobby Charles' attacks on her as well.
Steve, a bunch of Democrats have condemned Charles for this, calling his posts racist and xenophobic, but he hasn't really backed down at all, has he?
Not at all, Ari. He didn't respond to our request to talk to him about all this, but he's had plenty to say in defense of himself ever since, either online or in opinion pieces. And I think his column in the Press Herald is instructive because at one point he tries to draw this comparison between DeLock and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. Omar is also a Somali-born naturalized citizen, and Republicans, national Republicans, have continuously questioned her loyalty to the U.S. and tried to make her sort of this symbol of the Democratic Party writ large. And that's essentially what Charles seems to be doing here.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in here, Ari, to add that Charles certainly seems to be hitting a red meat issue right now for Republicans, especially Republicans who are strong supporters of President Trump's focus on people they often pejoratively call illegals and his mass deportation campaign. It's a crowded field here in Maine, hoping to win the nomination to become governor, and it's likely to get even more crowded. So I think this focus on immigration and one Somali-American lawmaker might resonate with some, but probably not all Republicans. I think the challenge, as we see with any primary, is getting to the relatively few voters who actually participate in primaries. And then the other big question is, if Bobby Charles wins the GOP nomination, how would this line of attacks play with the general voting public, especially those really extremely important independents who decide most close statewide races in Maine? I suspect that it won't play as well, but we often see politicians soften or change their message when they make that transition from primary to a general election.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, and State House correspondent, Kevin Miller. You can also read and subscribe to our Political Pulse newsletter at mainepublic.org/pulse. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, outdoor accessibility. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.